everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with my producer, Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 5th of December, 2013. You know what I say, Rose, about November and December? Fastest months of the year. Just over like that. And here we are, now less than 3 weeks from Christmas. So time to really get on the ball if you're thinking about those Christmas gifts. We are live 12:04 to 1 right here on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website, kvoi.com. And then we post the program. We make it very easy for you with our podcasts. Again, on my website, tucsonsentinel.com has the podcast, as does tucsoncitizen.com, and we now have our other media partners. Want to thank our newest media partner, Inside Tucson Business, joining Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun and Blog for Arizona, all prominently display a link to our show, and we thank the media folks for supporting our program. During the noon hour today, we have Rahina Romero, Tucson City Councilwoman, representing the city's Ward Number 1. Rahina is with me in studio. 35 minutes or so past the hour, Dr. Robert Hendricks, he is our Buckmaster Show education contributor, talking about this continuing problem of our low graduation, high school graduation rate in Pima County. We're at about 72%. National average is 82, I think. So we're definitely below it. And these kids who drop out of school, and I don't want to take too much of Rahina's time here, but the kids that drop out really are long-term missing a huge amount of income. Rahina, you want to jump in on that, actually?
Yes, hi.
Yeah,
thank
hi.
You so much
thank
for having me, Bill. I really appreciate
on the show.
It.
I'm introducing you a little early, but I know this is an issue that you're feeling.
It's something
very
I'm passionate about because I know education has definitely done really good for my family and for myself, and really helped us move from the cycle of poverty into really the middle class. And so it's very sad news, and it's important, and it should be important for everyone in government because it contributes to the lack of economic growth. And so the less high school diplomas we see coming out of Pima County, the less possibility for us to thrive and progress as a city and as a region. So it's very important, and we should all be concerned and all work together to make a dent and improve those graduation rates in our county.
4,400 students dropped out of the class of 2010, and this is what really jumps out at me, this research from the Alliance for Excellent Education. Those young people, when they dropped out, Rahina, that means they really have cut their earning power, the cumulative earning power, by millions of dollars.
And so their earning power reflects on our city and our county. We see a continuous continuous story in this county, in Pima County, in the city of Tucson, that we have. We're the poorest city in the, sixth poorest city in the country. I think we've moved
it's
to
actually,
10th or
12th.
No,
8th. We're 8th
now.
Just to be very factual about it, because people still continue to use that figure,
but
6.
But those graduations, those graduation rates
are
really...
We hear the low-wage town, mm-hmm. We're a poor community. Well, that's one of the reasons.
Absolutely.
Are the kids
dropping out
of school.
And so their earning potential is affecting our earning potential, and those low wage paying jobs are a reflection of that educational system. I'm not saying it's all of it, but I'm saying that it's a very important piece of the economic future of the city of Tucson and of Pima County.
How about pay raises for the city? Can we afford to give pay raises? The vote was 6-1. Steve Kasachek said that we're courting disaster by giving the workers, the city workers, a pay raise for the next 6 months of the fiscal year.
Yeah, twice the city manager, Richard Miranda, has recommended to the city council that we take this step. Back in May of this year, he recommended that we take this step. And again, last was it this Monday or last Monday, he recommended to the city council take this step.
It was this week.
It's this week.
Yeah, it was this week. I know.
It feels so long
the
ago.
The time is just all
but
holiday
season. But he did recommend that we take this step. And, mm-hmm. and for me, as I see it, you know, we have $1 billion worth of unmet needs within the city of Tucson. And I would want to include unmet needs human resources as unmet needs. The city employees have taken huge hits along with us. Labor unions really worked with us previously to go through furloughs, manage healthcare benefits going up, really taking big hits as employees of the city of Tucson. They had not really seen, besides the cost of living adjustment of 1% a year or two ago, they had not seen any increases in their salaries. We're going along with what Pima County did, with what Pima Community College did, with what Oro Valley and Sahuarita. All of those jurisdictions decided to invest in their employees this fiscal year. And I think it's only proper for the city of Tucson to keep up with inflation.
Especially with the police force.
And you know, make sure that we're investing in the people that are providing critical services, police, fire, you know, people that pick up your trash every day, people that are in the background mm-hmm. to help provide these services to the community. So it's an investment that we have to make as a city of Tucson. Every jurisdiction in the region went ahead and did a very comparable increase in their employees' salaries. And so the city of Tucson and I, as an individual council member, see this as an infrastructure need, because without good employees, our services will suffer. And so we need to make sure that we're keeping pace, that we're that we're providing these resources for our employees, especially after such difficult economic times. And they felt the pinch so much and contributed to the city of Tucson continuing to provide the services that the community deserves.
It's 12:12 on our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Rahina Romero, Tucson City Councilwoman, is with me in studio. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. 790-2040 is the line number that Roberta called us on. Go ahead, Roberta. You're with Councilwoman Romero.
Yes, good afternoon. I was just watching the December 2nd council meeting and the call to the audience about the golf course management, and I didn't see all of it, but the sentiments that I did saw from the people who spoke were very negative against the $1.2 million five-year contract, saying that the numbers didn't add up and the city is still all at risk for the golf courses. I was wanting to get your input on that and where it stands. Has this contract been finalized?
Hi, Roberta. Thank you so much for your question. I appreciate you calling. This contract, the city of council, the mayor and the city council gave approval to the city manager to finalize the contract. The contract will cost us much, much less in the management. Again, let me be clear. It is not privatizing our golf courses, but it is privatizing the management of our assets. It's costing us much, much less to have a private contractor manage these golf courses than to have city employees with pensions and health care benefits. Let me give you an example. Our golf superintendent alone makes $120,000 a year, plus health care benefits, plus pension costs. The contract itself is $250,000 per year with a private management. So that in itself is huge savings for the city of Tucson. Now, I don't know if you follow the golf dilemma that we have within the city of Tucson, but it had been bleeding millions of dollars, and it's in debt with the general fund for about $7.2 million, I think is the last time that I saw the debt. But it was losing about $1.5 million a year. The general fund was having to cover those expenses and really having to forsake more public safety, better services for our parks, and other very needed services for golf. And so the status quo was not acceptable. We had to go through a long process to see what was going to happen. And so, you know, we arrived back in October of 2012 at the possibility of private management. So that's where we're going. It has been a long conversation on the table, in the mayor and council table. There's been many, many articles talking about golf courses bleeding so much. And the status quo was just not acceptable. It was not going to stay the same. And we decided to give this a try.
When does it start?
It starts, I believe, in the...
The management takes, company comes in.
In the new fiscal year, I believe.
I'm not too sure. Are they out of Phoenix, the company?
Out of Scottsdale.
And this is all they do is manage.
Mm-hmm, this is all they do. They go around the country and manage municipal and private golf courses. Okay. And they have a really good system. We took a long time to do a national search, to do an RFP process, and really took a look at what the services that they offer compared to what was being offered with City of Tucson employees. And we made the decision that this was going to be worth the try.
All right, Rahina Romero with us on the Buckmaster Show. It is time to take our first break, and we want you to listen carefully to all of the people who support the Buckmaster Show. We ask simply that you support them. They make all of this possible. Be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they save money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1221. Tucson City Councilwoman Rahina Romero is with me. Are we ready? We are. We will now go to Chuck on the Buckmaster Show live line. Chuck wants to talk about roads. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, Councilwoman Romero, the people of Tucson gave you $100 million through a bond, issuing of bonds, and I guess you're going to start spending that money. My question to you, ma'am, is how much money did the city of Tucson receive in HERF funds last year, and how much of this actually went to repairing the roads? Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck, for your question. I really appreciate your call. We received don't quote me on this, about $14 million in HERF funds, which, by the way, the state legislature has been really using our HERF dollars up
which
in the state.
Which
are highway user revenue funds.
Yes,
that basically we produce here in Tucson, has been taking away the state legislature has been taking away our HERF funds for the last 5 years. And so what that means is that they have not returned the full amount of money that Pima County City of Tucson residents contribute to the fund. So what we did, the mayor and council, we decided to use $20 million, not just the $14 million, but $20 million of some of that general fund to be able to 14, which is the HERF, plus the 6 from the general fund to be able to reinvest into our roads. So some have seen that road investment already, even though the bond money, the city of Tucson road bond money, has not been started being used. So 14, the city of Tucson mayor and council decided to do more. And we decided to do $20 million of road improvements last year. This coming year, what you'll see is you'll start seeing the bond money, the City of Tucson bond money, voter approved. Thank you very much, citizens, for approving those bonds.
Yeah, a lot of people said that thing didn't have a chance. It was
right.
DOA, dead on arrival, and it
right.
did
and,
pass.
And people yeah. want to see that investment, and we get it. You know, mayor and council
and there
get
is
it.
An oversight committee.
There's an oversight committee of professionals, engineers, and administrators that will be looking at every single dollar that is being spent on that road bond and how it goes back into the roads of the city of Tucson.
Downtown, second Saturday ways, Rahina Romero have been very popular. One of the major funding sources with the change of leadership with Providence Corporation. Providence had been for the last, well, more than a year since, well, when Fletcher McCusker, who started Providence, left over a year ago, the new leadership decided to continue funding Second Saturdays for at least a year, and now that's up. So there is a shortfall. It would be a shame if it went away. It's been very popular.
It would be, and it's a shame that Providence decided to pull the plug. But saying that, Providence has been a wonderful partner for downtown, really promoting downtown. And so I do need to thank them first and foremost for at least 3 years contributing to Second Saturdays. And so what I think has to happen is that Downtown Tucson Partnership, which is an organization that controls the business improvement district in downtown and that helps promote downtown, needs to pretty much sit down, have a conversation with their board, and the board is made up of property owners downtown, neighborhoods downtown, organizations like Cox Communications and TEP have a seat on the table, University of Arizona, and the city of Tucson. But we really need to make sure that the Downtown Tucson Partnership comes up with a solution that divides the investment up. I know that Cox and TEP and other companies, Madden Media, and others can come up with a solution that will help during this time. And it's basically an emergency. So unfortunately, the city of Tucson would not be able to contribute at this moment in time, but we do contribute to the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And we'll be looking at their leadership, at Michael Keith, who's mm-hmm. a very responsible, very mm-hmm. creative guy that cares about downtown. I know there'll be a response.
We have Michael planned for our Friday focus in a couple of weeks, right, Rose? Definitely. We'll certainly ask him about that. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more quick call here with Rahina Romero. I think Dan is up next. Dan, could you make your question very quickly for us? Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, but we're having a lot of problems with my employees' health care now. I was wondering, what health plan do you and your staff and the city employees have as far as your health care, and who's paying for it?
The City of Tucson employees and every council office, including the council member, is considered a city employee. Right now, our plan is Cigna. And we're covered just like every other employee is. And, of course, it comes from the general fund. It's part of the expenditure, the human resources expenditure that the general fund covers. And so city council members and their staff, I have four staff members that are covered with Cigna.
Okay, and you're happy with what the way?
Well, it's part of the benefits that the city employees have in mm-hmm. and the same, the city council members and the mayor are covered just like every other city.
Okay, Rahina Romero, we're going to have to wrap it up very quickly. I've got about 90 seconds. And just quickly, what did you think of the Urban Land Institute advisory panel's preliminary findings on how to bolster the downtown? They had made some recommendations concerning the TCC and La Placita. Perhaps
I was very happy to see that their focus was in La Placita, TCC, and into the West Side. I've requested from our city manager and staff that they come back and present in a study session to Mayor and Council so that we can add our voice to that. But if you notice, downtown is really happening. But where we see the need to focus on is where ULI kind of focused on, which is La Placita, Hotel Arizona, that has been shut down for a year or two, and the TCC and into the West Side. Those, how I see them, are areas of opportunity where we can continue developing, continue adding to the tax base of the city of Tucson, and using up really good space that can contribute to the character of downtown.
Were you able to attend that meeting?
I was interviewed, uh-huh. and I had a couple of lunch meetings with the panel. So I was able to, you know, submit my opinions into the bowl, as I'd say. But it was a good process, and we have to make sure that we take what we need to take from it. And as I say, all action plans need action. So the next step for the mayor and council is to take some action, positive action steps forward.
Okay, Regina Romero, thank you very much for being with us. And we want to wish you a very happy holiday season to you and yours.
Happy holidays to you. So happy to be here all the time, Bill.
Thank you very much. Bob Hendricks is coming up next. We're going to continue with that discussion that we began with Regina Romero about the situation with keeping high school kids in high school and try to cut down on these kids who are dropping out of school. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Yemen's government has raised the death toll in today's attack on the country's defense ministry in the capital Sana'a to 52. Another 167 people were wounded in the attack. The State Department is confirming that an American citizen was shot and killed in Benghazi, Libya today. A Libyan official describes the man as a chemistry teacher from Texas. A deteriorating situation in the Central African Republic is prompting international action. Fighting came to the country's capital earlier today. A collision between a dump truck and a school bus carrying elementary school students has killed an 11-year-old Idaho boy. The collision took place this morning in Cuna, about 30 miles from Boise. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 53 points, and NASDAQ is off 5. More details at SRN.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, which has been named one of America's top 100 arts communities. Downtown Silver City, a variety of galleries and beautiful historic buildings, quaint fine dining, quaint homes, and great places to stay like Casitas de Gila guest houses. Check it out at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, tomorrow, area educators and community leaders will gather in Tucson for a summit to focus on an effort to get young people to stay in school. Tucson teens graduating on time, the percentage of them graduating on time, has remained relatively static over the last decade. Nearly 72% of Tucson area teens graduated on time from high school in May. That's far less than the national average of 83%. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show on our live line our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Dr. Hendricks, the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He's a one-time Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year. Dr. Hendricks, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing very well. And, you know, we've been talking about this, trying to fix this low graduation rate, it seems like, forever. What are some of your thoughts on what we can do to maybe put a finger in the dike and slow the rate of kids dropping out?
Well, Bill, there's been a lot of longitudinal study over a period of time as to, you know, what are the risk factors that ultimately lead to a student dropping out of school. And the reality is that most of it becomes an event at the high school level where students are able to drop out, but the process is really ongoing and really begins at a very early stage in a child's life. And the research, time and time again, points to really four factors that place students at risk. And most educators, and I think general public, has a good idea what these might be. But the reality is that they're student low achievement, poor attendance in school, students being retained, particularly if they're over age in a classroom setting at the upper grade levels, and low socioeconomic status. And we can point to all of those factors and multiple dimensions of those factors as being issues in students deciding to drop out. And so I think it's really a good conversation that's going to be taking place tomorrow. There are a number of agencies, very fine agencies in the Tucson area that have been working on this problem for a long time and making some headway. But The coordination of efforts, I think, for agencies and educators to get together and try to put together a strategy or a map where they can make sure that their momentum is all going in the right direction and they're not working in across purposes.
You know, the estimated 4,400 students who dropped out from the class of 2010, the research that's been done by the Tucson in the Tucson area by the Alliance for Excellent Education, really, these numbers are unbelievable. Cutting that number of dropouts, that 4,400, in half would have resulted in $27 million in increased earnings, allowing them to spend an additional $20 million and invest $6.5 million during an average year. So everyone loses in the community when these students drop out, Bob Hendricks.
Well, that's true, and I think another disconcerting fact is that if you look at the large proportion, disproportionate number of students who drop out who become incarcerated, a large percentage of those students become part of the prison rolls or become part of the economic liability for social services. And so it's more than just a matter of let's get them an education so that they can be more successful. It's helping them be able to have a good start in life so that they can be productive citizens.
And Dr. Sanchez, the superintendent of TUSD, H.T. Sanchez, believes that we have a lot of well-meaning people in the community who want to, people of goodwill who would like to help out. But what we need, I guess, according to him, is some kind of a coordinated effort. Would you agree with that?
I would. I really think from all that I have read and studied, that the key to any solution to this problem, as multifaceted as it is engagement. And how do we find ways to successfully support and engage students so that they don't feel like they need to drop out of school, whether it's personal connections or institutional connections, a way to give students direction so that they are feeling success. And we know that that some of these factors appear as early as the primary and intermediate grades. Issues of low achievement and misbehavior and early aggression and the number of things that are related to high mobility. When I was working at Flowing Wells, we had an elementary school with a teacher who had 32 students, all of whom were different from the ones she had at the beginning of the school year. If a child is constantly in flux, there's high mobility, if there's not support from the home, and if we don't provide an infrastructure for them through school and other social agencies, then there's a high probability the student's not going to be successful.
Dr. Robert Hendricks, this is an issue that has been with us a long time. Other communities, what have they done to make turn this around?
Well, I think the coordination of effort, which again is the topic of the seminar tomorrow, is going to be really key. How can agencies? I think as Dr. Sanchez says, we can't put it all at the doorstep of the school. We can't put it all at the doorstep of the family. There's got to be an effort of everyone working together to make this success happen.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, we will see you. We'll look forward to your next appearance in early January in the new year. We want to wish you a really happy holidays to you and yours, Bob. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. I hope the results of the conference tomorrow bring some good, productive direction.
I hope so, too. Bob Hendricks, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
We want to change the way you think about an art gallery. This is Diana Medeiros inviting you to stop by one of our two Tucson galleries. We have beautiful art that will bring color and joy to your home. Some people think that an art gallery is out of their price range, but did you know we have a price point for everyone? We feature original art, plus we have two rooms filled with masterful reproductions and a huge selection of Southwest gifts, including hand-painted Lazy Susans, mosaic cowboy boots, and Native American baskets. We have Tucson holiday cards, art calendars, hard-to-find Southwest ornaments, and many other gift items. We even have mini canvases, something for everyone on your holiday shopping list. So try something new today and come on into one of our galleries. You will be delighted and surprised. Medeiros Gallery is color and joy. Stop by either location at Broadway and Cherry or Campbell and Skyline or call 623-4000. I hope to see you at one of the galleries very soon.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, and it is the first Thursday of the month, and that means it's our honor to welcome Attorney Don Luce to the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Luce of Luce Brown and Associates, with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the legal contributor and author of two very popular books, legal contributor for the Buckmaster Show, and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that is in a second revised edition, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did indeed. Thank you.
All right, there we go. It seems like every month, at least in recent meetings with you, Mr. Luce. We have talked about marijuana and the marijuana law that passed in Arizona, which was for medicinal purposes.
Right.
And that was in 2010. It seems like forever ago, doesn't it?
Just barely passed. It does
barely
seem
passed,
like forever.
But now a state lawmaker, Assistant House Minority Leader Ruben Gallego, is that the right pronunciation?
I believe it's Gallego,
so.
Yes.
Gallego is now talking about recreational marijuana use in Arizona.
Indeed. And this is going to be a hard sell. The legislature and the governor both have been strongly opposed to medical marijuana, and to try to sell a recreational bill, that's a tough one. But Gallego has said that in the next legislative session, he's going to introduce legislation which would allow people over the age of 21 to possess, consume, and give away up to an ounce of marijuana, and to grow up to 5 plants. The bill that he's proposing would prohibit smoking marijuana in public and establish requirements for marijuana-related facilities, including retail shops that could sell it. But this proposal is a lot like what's been happening in some of the western states, specifically Colorado. And Gallego said that his bill is going to be modeled after the Colorado ballot initiative last year that allowed legalized marijuana for recreational purposes. Now, what I think is going to happen is this is going to start a discussion in Arizona about how far we as a citizenry want to take marijuana usage.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, by the narrowest of majorities, the voters approved marijuana for specified medical uses. And now the discussion, I think, is going to turn to recreational use. Arizona is not there yet. In fact, we're still seeing some cases in our court system challenging certain aspects of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. That's going to take years to resolve. But in the meantime, because of the national trend toward delegalization of marijuana usage and possession, I think Arizona is going to begin a discussion on recreational use.
You wonder if we're really – are we headed down the road to where marijuana will become legal in this country someday?
Well, I think in the majority of states at some point, either medical or recreational use of marijuana is going to be permitted. Now, the discussion that we've had over the past several years on this show mm-hmm. is the inherent conflict between the federal law and the various state laws, because under federal law, marijuana is still a controlled substance, and the DEA is operating under guidelines that provide marijuana has no medical benefit, the same as, for instance, heroin. So the conflict is always an interesting one, because state commerce is affected. You know, the things that happen in Arizona don't just affect Arizonans. So you might have somebody from Colorado, for instance, bringing a quantity of marijuana into Arizona for recreational use. Now, in Colorado, that may be legal. In Arizona, currently, it's not legal. If that person is not a medical marijuana cardholder and possesses marijuana, then they violated both state and federal law. So the DEA has, and the Department of Justice, for that matter, have both grappled with this issue about when to prosecute, when not to prosecute, and what activities ought to be prosecuted. Across our state, we currently have over 60 dispensaries. These are retail stores where you can go in and, if you're a cardholder, actually buy marijuana. Now, that's legal under our state law, but it's clearly illegal under federal law. The DEA is permitting that, but one has to wonder, you know, at what point mm-hmm. is that policy perhaps going to be reconsidered? Now, it's under an administration that has one view toward medical marijuana and recreational marijuana usage. if that administration is replaced, which it will be eventually, what is the policy of the new administration? And what about the people who have invested their money and their labor in creating these dispensaries and, you know, in some cases have hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in that? If the DEA were to take a different approach under a different policy, they are at risk of losing everything that they have in invested in those dispensaries.
It's a fascinating question because technically, I guess the DEA could go in there today and could shut down these dispensaries under federal law, and then we would really have a situation where we'd have eventually to get clarification through the courts.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I'm afraid that the decision would favor the federal action mm-hmm. because, generally speaking, any action taken by the federal government pursuant to a federal law is going to supersede any contrary action permitted by the state. And the interesting question in that scenario is, what would the charge be against the dispensary owner? I would submit that it would be a high felony, and the dispensary owner under federal law could be looking at some serious time. Now, mm-hmm. that hasn't happened, but the only reason it hasn't happened is because the administration has a policy in place that says, you know, let these guys operate their medical marijuana dispensaries in states in which it's legal. But that policy can be changed at any time.
A little bit shaky ground there for the long term. Don Luce is with us, attorney Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates. An appeals court, this is a pretty big deal for employers, a federal appeals court ruling that employers can require their workers to sign arbitration agreements waiving all rights to class action lawsuits over workplace grievances.
Yes, this is out of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, and it overturned a National Labor Relations Board decision to the contrary. Now, what's happening nationwide is that more employers and lenders and other businesses, for that matter, are including mandatory arbitration provisions in their agreements. So if you work for, let's say, a company that requires you to sign an employment contract, what you might find in your employment contract is a provision that requires you to arbitrate any employment-related dispute. And all else being equal, that provision probably stands a good chance of being enforced. And what that means is, as an employee, you would have agreed as part of the terms of your employment that you will not sue your mm-hmm. employer for anything relating to your employment. Now, this decision takes it one step further. And under this decision, the arbitration agreement said, not only do I agree to arbitrate any dispute, but I also waive any right to join in a class action lawsuit over workplace grievances. So the traditional class action notion where a group of individuals who suffer the same type of injury band together in one lawsuit and sue a party or a series of parties for their grievances, that is quickly becoming obsolete because these anti-class action lawsuit provisions are being inserted in more and more agreements, and the courts are finding them to be enforceable. In prior years, the courts were looking at these agreements and saying, well, are they against public policy? And if they are, then we're not going to enforce them. More and more, the courts are saying, no, they're not against public policy. And in fact, they're good for public policy because they avoid the need to have to go to court and incur the expenses of a court proceeding to resolve the dispute. In the consumer context, you'll see a lot of these similar provisions in things like credit card agreements and loan agreements and other agreements between consumers and people who extend credit.
And if you don't sign it, you probably won't get the job.
Well, that's a very real possibility, and certainly if you don't sign the credit card agreement, you won't get the credit card.
Don Luce, we're out of time. I do want to again mention your books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and it is available Amazon.
Yes.
Good place, right?
And any retail bookstore in Arizona.
And Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and everybody should get their affairs in order. End of the year, Don Luce, is always a good time to think about estate planning, isn't it?
There's never a bad time. And estate planning is just, it's more than just wills and trusts. It's also about health care directives and powers of attorneys and other types of documents that will make your life easier and better.
Okay, Don Luce, we want to wish you and yours a great holiday season. We appreciate your support of the show. Thanks, Don.
Bill, and same to you.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. I would agree to that statement. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial needs, we thank Culligan. All of the in-studio guests are provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water as they come into our studios here at KVOI. Coming up this afternoon, John C. Scott, 3 to 5, with us in this very studio, and then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. They'll be here from 6 to 8. On behalf of Rosemary Brandt, the best producer a guy could ever want, guy or woman, thank you, Rose, for your support. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.